This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your own home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
Hour 2, Mail It In Friday, brought to you by sportsmarketplace.ca, the place to buy and sell all things sports. It's where sports fans go to put their stuff on waivers. Maple Leafs in Columbus tonight, back home against Montreal tomorrow. You've got a game over in Prague that took place where Philly got past Chicago 4-3. So Alain Vigneault is in the winner's column as the new head coach down in Philly. You've got baseball going on where, not surprisingly, Justin Verlander pitching a gem. 6-0 Houston, top of the eighth inning. And that's a lot like what happened with the Dodgers and the Nationals. I remember we were talking about that. These teams that win the wild card games, how hard do they party?
Yeah.
Because the Nats had nothing last night.
Feathers.
Feathers, and Tampa's got nothing today.
Yeah.
Now, L.A. and Houston are clearly better teams.
Right.
So it may have just been the way it was going to work out anyway.
Yeah, they're underdogs.
Like, they're big underdogs.
They're not. It's
yeah,
not like,
big underdogs.
Did you hear about this cat in Houston? It's like a furniture salesman. Laid down 5 sheets on Houston winning the World Series.
I did not hear about that, no.
$5 million or $5 grand?
$5 million.
When did he put that bet down?
I don't know. Like a week and a half ago. Grappler kind of looked that up to
Verify.
Yeah.
That's a lot of change, man.
Well, like, if you're a billionaire, though, some Texas oil man or something.
How much money can he have? Like, is he on some chain?
Sorry, it was 3.5. I thought it was 5.
Still, that's a lot of money, man.
That's
like, what kind of casino or sportsbook is taking that bet?
What are the odds on?
What does he get if he wins?
I don't know. What would they be? 4-1 favorites? 5-1?
Yeah,
something like that. I don't know. I mean, there's how many teams are left? You only got 8 teams left.
Yeah, the $5 million. There's one guy that bet 5. Some furniture dude in Houston.
I feel like I know about that guy. I've heard of him before.
He's just a goon.
No, he is a goon, clearly. But it's a lot about marketing. So I'm going to take him at his word that he put the money down, but he's banking on
people going to his furniture store.
Yeah, the story's starting to percolate and free advertisement, and everyone say, "Hey, you see, old Eddie from Eddie's Furniture Shop put down $5 million."
Yeah.
And because you see that a lot with like car dealerships and stuff like that, they'll make bets with like the general public,
right?
Where if this team wins whatever, we're giving away a free car. And you're like, well, it seems like a little bit of an exaggerated bet, or
right.
You know, how would they get out on top on that? That's the favorite in the hometown team. Well, 30 grand that they're going to give away a car, or less than that, probably.
Right.
And they probably calculate it. They're like, we're going to get $100,000 worth of free advertisement.
Exactly. Because
everyone's going to be like, wow, free car if the Astros win tonight.
Right. No, it's smart. But
you know what I'm saying? Like stuff like that. Now, $5 million or 3.5 is rich.
That's very rich.
I think you could have put down 50 grand and got the same reaction or a similar reaction. But
well, Mayweather always puts his bets out there.
Only the winners. Only the winners afterwards, too. He doesn't post, you know, hey, I'm on this team tonight or this guy tonight. It's from the plane afterwards. I knew Houston was going to win or whatever it was, whatever the bet was. But I think if I were going to, you know, if I were going to bet, I'd bet on Houston.
Well, bet 3.5.
I don't have 3.5.
What would you bet? If Aaron said, don't worry about it, any number you want, would you put 100 G's on it?
No.
No,
100 grand? I couldn't live that life, man. I couldn't have 100 grand
anywhere
down on anything.
You wouldn't sleep.
No, even if it's the lock of the century, there's always a chance. There's always a chance there's a key out there.
Who was it? Was it Philly, Minnesota last year that was the lock of the century in the NFL? Who jammed you guys up?
Minnesota Bills.
Buffalo.
Yeah, it was Buffalo.
Buffalo, Minnesota.
Yeah. Well, you see it with, you see, I'm trying to think of recent examples where, like Alabama, you see that a lot.
Yeah.
Like Alabama playing, southeastern Louisiana in week one, and they're like 54.5-point favorites, and guys will put 100 grand down to make 800 bucks. Just because yeah. they're like, it's such a lock.
Such a lock.
You know?
But in the one chance they lose,
you never know, right?
Big trouble.
Obviously, that has happened before. Yeah. Remember Michigan years ago? Michigan lost at the Big House to like a D3 team or something like that. Appalachian State. I think it was Appalachian State. They were they were like 47.5 point favorites.
What's the? Was it Leicester City?
Leicester City.
Leicester
yes.
Leicester City. Yeah.
Right. Now that was
like
before 5, the season.
5,000 to 1 or something.
Some guy won a fortune off that because I guess he bets on his team every year. He puts down like 100 pounds, and they were 5,000 to 1.
I was telling you before the show about the guy who bet on the Blues.
Right.
Local
lawyer here in the GTA.
Toronto, yeah.
Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro. What's going on down there, Ray?
Not much, Captain. What's going on with you?
I'm feeling very good. I'm feeling like a leader.
You should be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm getting my tires pumped, too, out on Instagram. Like, these guys, there's a lot of production going on here, trying to pump my tires with clips of former guests who were like, it's a great point by you, Brian, and Dwayne Casey,
point,
Rich
Brian.
Eisen. Yeah. Yeah, there he is. So.
Well, you know, I mean, it's obvious. I mean, we follow wherever your lead is, which is why we're like the band in Animal House in a dead end, walking around in a corner.
Just sheep.
Not much leadership here. Not much vision. Put it that way. I'm not planning anything in the future. But as long as we get here every day and the pass card works, I guess I'm not going to complain.
I think that's really all it's about, isn't it?
That's all you can really say.
Thing worked again. In we go.
Yep. I guess I'm allowed in the compound, and the mics are going to turn on at some point. What's the mood like down in Columbus? The like such extreme talent turnover this offseason. They can't feel overly confident, but are they putting forth a front or what?
Well, they are, and yet, you know, when you talk to just people that are around the team, they're like, you know, they got some good young players. They're confident, but like, can they be any good? Like, you know, like nobody really has any faith that they're going to be able to replace. I think more than anything, guys, it's the offense that they're looking at and going, how the heck are they going to score any goals?
Mm-hmm.
Like, aside from Bobrovsky, right? Okay, so they're going to miss him. But they've got these, you know, they got four young goalies in their system. And I read this story on Jarmo Kekalainen, the general manager, and he said, I was in St. Louis. We drafted Ben Bishop. We didn't wait long enough for him, and he became a number one goalie somewhere else. Said, you can look around the league. It happens all the time. Before I go get an experienced guy, we want to make sure that these guys aren't number one goalies. And so the guy they have that's going to start tonight, Kuprasalo, I mean, he's got an .897 save percentage the last couple of years. I don't think he's more than a backup, but he's going to get the first crack. The guy behind him is this guy we've seen at the World Championships a few times. His name's Eldis Merzlikins. He's a Latvian, and I'm no goalie scout, but I think he's a stud.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he's good. I think he's better than that. And so I think by November, he's their number one goalie. But that gets us back to, okay, so that's great. Maybe you sort that out adequately. Who the hell's going to score goals for you? They got Cam Atkinson. They got Pierre-Luc Dubois.
Josh Anderson.
But I was going to say, Newell, I was going to say, then you get into a bunch of guys that kind of grind away for their goals.
Yeah.
And Anderson would be one of those guys. Nick Foligno got 17 last year. You know, they hope Oliver Bjorkstrand, who scored 23 goals, he gets 12.5 minutes a night. He's one of those guys, Torts likes the boot in the rear end. Like, they need him to score. Like, they need him to be 30 goals. And you're like, man, it's not all going to work. They've got this young kid, Emil Bemström, and they're going to start him on the fourth line. And last year he got 23 goals in the Swedish league. He's the third teenager to get that many goals in the Swedish league. Kent Nilsson had 28. Elias Pettersson had 24, and Bemström had 23. So he's a 20-year-old kid. Like, I don't know, is he ready to play or – I don't know. There's a bunch of I don't know.
Yeah, that Texier, I think his name is. I always butcher his name. He looks like he could be all right too.
Yes, and so, but it's a bunch of I hope so, guys.
Yeah,
because they're so young. Again, they're the youngest team in the league. You know, and so youngest team means they got a lot of question marks. You got a lot of guys playing probably roles that they shouldn't quite be at yet. And that's what they have. They've also got $10 million in cap space. And so if this thing stubs its toe early on and somebody else looks, you know, looks at their team and says, wow, we're worse than we thought we were going to be. We want to make a move. We want to trade away somebody that we're not going to sign after this year. Columbus is in prime shape to do that. The one thing, though, to keep in mind, they don't, looking forward on them, they don't have their first-round pick coming up this year. Ottawa's got that.
Ray, there's been a lot of talk in Toronto about Austin Matthews being this two-way centerman. You see him at ice level. We talked earlier. I view him as like a goal-scoring machine, not really that two-way guy. How do you view him?
I don't get the two-way thing yet, though. I think it could be there. I think he can be better at it. Some of that will be that instead of swooping around the defensive zone, he's going to stop a little bit more. I see a lot of Evgeny Malkin in his game. Like when Malkin never stops, ever. If you're going to be a two-way, the player that Babcock keeps talking about, that's what you have to get to, you know, as far as defending. But when he shoots the puck, like how many guys shoot the puck like him in the league? Is there three or four, maybe?
Not many.
Maybe?
Yeah. Not many. Yeah.
And he's, you know, he's just going to get, he's going to get a better, even better sense of where to be on the ice as he plays more games, you know, gets a little more experience. But you look at him and you go, well, really, how much more experience does he need? Not very much. You know, like he's a goal scoring machine. He really is. And I think if we're looking at a guy that's just developing the ability to one-time the puck like he did the other night, and that adds another weapon to him, it's almost like Ovechkin went the other way, right? Ovechkin could one-time it like nobody's business, and then he started getting goals closer to the net. Maybe for Matthews, he's going to start to spread his range up a little bit, you know, become a more well-rounded scorer, and you're like, holy crap, well, that takes you from 40 to 50 goals, and we know how rare that is.
Well, Babcock has spoken about this before. We know how he wants to
shape him.
Play and shape the team. Yeah. Exactly. He's always thinking defense first, and if you smother the opposition and keep them to under 20 shots and win 1-0, it's the perfect like Picasso hockey game. But he's also the highest paid coach in the league. So if that's what he really wants and he wants to mold a guy, I think he's putting pressure on himself here. Okay, if that's what you want and that's what you believe has to happen, you've been here for 3 years, man. Like it's not like he's a rookie.
I think Babs would like every player to be like Pavel Datsyuk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were talking
And that's just not going to happen. Or he wants him to be, not Matthews in particular, but he looks at, I think he looks, and I don't know this, maybe one time I'll ask him, but I think he looks at three players that he's coached as the ideal player. And that's Nick Lidstrom, Henrik Zetterberg, and Pavel Datsyuk. I think he looks at them and sees like every quality that he would want in a player somewhere in those three.
And that Glenn Denning guy. Whatever that guy's name.
Yeah, Luke Glenn Denning. That would be at a different end of the roster. But yeah, you know. So if the fourth line center thing doesn't work out, you know, for the GOAT or Spetzer or whatever, Glenn Denning's getting near the end of his contract. He'd be a bad favorite for sure.
Yeah. Freddie the GOAT, Glenn Denning.
anyway,
Freddie Glenn Denning.
Before we get way down the path here, I don't know that you can, I mean, you can have the ideal in your head, but each guy is different. Matthews is not going to see the game the same way that Datsyuk or Zetterberg did. He isn't, because he's a different guy.
Right.
And I don't know. I find this quest for the 200-foot player that you hear from coaches all the time.
It's nonsense.
It is, man. It's like you want a 200-foot player can't be. It can't happen. It doesn't happen with players. Mitch Marner is never, in my books, going to be a 200-foot player, and I don't want him to be, and I could care less. I'll find somebody else to chip the puck out off the boards, off the glass, and out. What I'd like is when he gets it to get 100 points, which he seems like is just, you know, is right in his wheelhouse. I want Austin Matthews to get 50 goals. I don't want him to sacrifice his offense at the expense of his sacrifice his offense so he can be a great checker. What I would like is when the games get really tough in the playoffs, I want to know that he's able to really lock in on what's important. And that, to me, that's the hockey IQ. I think he would have it, but that would be my quest as a coach.
That's exactly. I remember having these conversations with Iginla. Iginla would say, like, when the playoffs come, I know to be safe with the puck, be smart with it. And these guys would be able to do that. It's just Babs wants those habits in these young players right from day one. You can't blame him, though. You can't blame Babs for trying to instill proper habits in young players. That's drafting and developing. There's 20 other organizations that would love to have that type of problem. Ultra-skilled players that you want to continue to grow their game. But I agree, Ray. Like, I think it's more about, at critical times, having the IQ out there or the wherewithal to make the right play. And sometimes that's not just the high-risk play. It's just the safer play to manage the game.
Well, I'm not gonna go through and name names, because a lot of these players are like fantastic players in their own rights. But I played with and against players that, as the season got tighter and tighter and tighter and into the playoffs, coaches didn't trust them. They didn't trust them, and they didn't play the same way, or they tried to play their offensive way and it doesn't work. I don't think that'll be the case with Toronto's young guys. I really don't. Like with Matthews and Marner in particular.
No.
Nylander hasn't shown that yet, and we'll see if he matures into that, where if he's got to lock it into a much more simple game, that he would be able to do that. But he hasn't done that yet. But the other two, I guess you keep talking to them about it, for sure, but I don't want a 2-on-2 and Mitch Marner to go in and chip it in the corner and go get it. I really, as a coach, if he did that, I'd come back and say, what are you doing? Don't do that anymore. That's for him to do.
Right.
Yeah, no, he's got more than enough capability to make that magic happen when you run into a 2-on-2 preseason, regular season, postseason. But I also believe learning to be successful and maybe simplifying your game in order to be successful applies on both ends of the rink in the playoffs. Like, yeah, you got to be smarter and stop where you got to start, stop in your own end. But also, you can't expect, you're not going end to end in the playoffs. You're not going to dangle through the neutral zone. So those lessons have to be learned too.
Yeah, but by the time you get here, it's not like they're teenagers. So I was never a very good defensive player, because I just wasn't. And maybe because I didn't commit myself to it like I did at the other end. But when we got into a game, if we were late in the game and it was 2-1, as much as I hated to chip the puck in, like, I hated it. I hated it. Couldn't stand it, because those were the days you'd chip it in and the defenseman would maul you and you couldn't get in the play. I knew the play was that. Like, even though I was not a good defensive player, I'm like, nah, it's the right play. And in it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys will make that play. Like, do people not trust that with them? Because I do. I don't even think it's an issue. Like, I think if it was 2-1 and Connor McDavid's coming up the ice and it's a 1-on-2, he'd go, yeah, wrong time, and he'd chip it in. Like, he wants to score every time he's got the puck, but he'd go, yeah, wrong time. It's got to go in.
Mm-hmm.
And in it goes.
Yeah, and I think even trying to find offense, though, is different in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not talking about the situation where, yeah, 1-on-2, you're up one late. Yeah, don't try to be a hero. I'm saying that sidewall stop, and William Nylander in particular, driving wide, stopping, coming back up the boards.
Right.
Not going to work in the playoffs.
Looking for options.
Yeah, it'll work against, Ottawa in October, but.
Well, guys, go back to last October. Remember, they scored about 18,000 goals.
Right, exactly.
Remember, and Babcock kept saying, this is fun. I hope everybody's having fun, but it's not going to be this way.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, it wasn't that way. And their power play was, like, honestly, I thought they were going to score way over 300 goals last year, the way they started. I'm like, that power play is going to get 100 goals. And then all of a sudden, they couldn't adjust or they couldn't figure it out. And, Nylander was no help when he came back, and Marlowe fell off the table, and it was like, finished.
See you later.
And you know, and that's it, right?
Yeah.
So now it's got to change. It's got to change at some point, but I would think the guys, you know, at the very top of the heap for them, they're not only terrific young players, they're very smart players. And I'm with you. You have to create the offense different. I think they can. There's a couple guys we'll have to see, but at the very top, I think they can.
Leafs Blue Jackets tonight. You can watch it on TSN4. We'll catch you on the coverage tonight. We'll do it again Monday at 5 o'clock.
I'm going to do my best to not get jolted by the cannon if that thing goes off, but gets me every time.
It's the worst.
It does.
The worst, like, gimmick in the NHL. It's so annoying.
I hate it.
It's so annoying. But they love it, you know?
They love it too. Hey, how about this? I hope our broadcast goes better than the morning today. I went down for breakfast, came up, brushed my teeth to go to the rink. Don't know my room number. I'm walking around on the seventh floor. My room's not on the seventh floor. I go down to the lobby. The lady goes, what room are you in? I go, something 19. She goes, take a guess. So I give her, I go, I know it's not seven. There's only 11 floors in the hotel. I go, I know it's not seven. She goes, take a guess. So I guess. She's like, wrong. Then she gives me the room.
So she knew. So she was trolling you is what you're saying.
Yeah. No, she was mocking me.
Yeah.
And then Gord gets here, you know, first game of the year. He doesn't have a tie, which I think is probably an improvement on what he normally wears. But anyway, you know.
So those ties in the gift shop are tough.
Yeah, they are.
The Columbus State Fair.
So the best part about this is, I'm sure he won't say anything, so I'm going to say it now. He borrowed a tie from Columbus's PR guy.
Dude, go to a strip mall and get a tie.
I know. Oh, I know. God. But he's borrowing a tie.
What and a cheapo.
Tight budget, I guess.
God.
Well, I guess I just accidentally let that slip out. So, anyways, I'm sure the game will be good.
Well, we look forward to it. We look forward to seeing Gord tonight.
Ohio State Buckeyes tie.
Oh, I hope so.
That would be awesome.
That would be spectacular. All right, buddy. Enjoy it.
Boys.
There's Ray Ferraro joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com. Just go buy a tie.
Yeah, like, it's happening.
How much do ties cost?
Well, it depends. I mean, can buy one.
First thing you do is you skim around that gift shop because they might have a standard black one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Works with almost
some
every
of them
suit.
Are just gruesome in there. I've had to do it.
Yeah, we've.
But
we've
if not, you get in an Uber after lunch and you go get a tie.
Mm-hmm.
Gord.
Well, where
you're Sean Mendez's buddy. Get a tie.
Where you stay in Columbus? Like it's in the. There's stores everywhere.
Yeah.
So you could walk out of the Westin there and turn right. I believe there's a CVS a couple blocks down. You could buy it from a
CVS.
A pharmacy.
Is a tough tie.
Well, I know, but.
Do they have ties at a...
I'm sure you could buy it at a CVS.
Pharmacy? I don't know.
I don't know. We don't have time. I've got an unreal story about forgetting a suit.
Okay. We'll come back and get into that. Michael Lombardi on whether or not the Seahawks are the best team in the NFC.
My kids watch this, like, DIY. What is that? It's a show where you just make things yourself. Just turn a sock into a bow tie or something.
Right. Is it on YouTube?
Oh, yeah. DIY, little gadgets and things people make.
It's like a life hack.
Life hack.
DIY, creatives, ideas for creative set design. Like it's
That's actually not bad for kids to watch. Could be a lot worse.
Yeah, believe me.
Painful, dude, for an hour straight.
No, I know that, but borderline educational. YouTube is dangerous.
It is.
Very dangerous.
Kids, for sure.
All right, Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Michael Lombardi, our NFL insider at 6 o'clock. Pierre LeBrun, our hockey insider, will join us as well. Houston up 6-2, top of the ninth, two out. So it looks like they're going to close that. And Houston will go up 1-0 in the ALDS. The Braves are up 1-0, bottom of the third. They're looking for redemption. They had that game last night. They had that game. Their bullpen blew that game, and they can walk out of Atlanta. Tied 1-1, heading to St. Louis. That one was going the distance more than likely anyway. That was a pretty evenly matched up series. And then you got the Yankees in action tonight and the Dodgers taking on Washington game two at Dodger Stadium. No Larry King last night. I didn't see him.
Mary Hart?
Mary Hart was there. Mary Hart never misses a game.
But Larry was not?
Larry's usually like two or three seats down from Mary Hart. Sometimes they're right beside each other.
But...
But
Mary
I did not
Hart
see Larry.
Is one of my all-time favorites.
She is a legend.
Just an absolute beautiful and lovely lady.
She was from Entertainment Tonight.
Yeah, that's where she made her bones. Like she was, I think she was there for like 30 years.
Yeah.
Like the queen of Entertainment Tonight and the inside. Like if you were a star at some point, you're going to sit down with Mary Hart.
Yeah, Mary Hart was.
And then she became such a star that it was like, hey, I'm sitting right behind home plate at Dodger Stadium.
Well, she probably printed some money during the day.
Mary Hart insured her legs for $1 million.
I do remember that.
That's when you know you got some great pins. When someone comes to
you... If you could insure one body part on yourself, what would it be?
I know what I... For me, my hair, because it's going to go at some point.
Right, that's a good idea.
Cash in.
That's actually
like,
a great idea.
I feel like I'm going to wake up one day and my hair is just going to be laying on the pillow.
Can you insure your hair?
Well, Dee Snider from Twisted Sister did. I'm sure of it because...
AZB, what would you insure?
I don't know.
I don't have a lot that's worthy of insurance, I'll be honest with you.
Your ass?
Yeah, actually, I've been paid a few compliments over the years.
Moving and shaking.
Yeah, I'd put a little change on
that.
What
would you insure?
My biceps.
Your biceps?
You got pretty good biceps?
Yeah, like when I'm jacked, I got good biceps.
But what if you're not jacked?
Well, I'm clearly not jacked right now, so they're like fat arm biceps.
But if you were to get jacked, then you would insure them? That's a good idea.
I'll show you my biceps.
But that's the thing, though. Could you cash in if you've put a layer over top of them? Maybe you've let them go. That's
when I knew it was time to get in shape, when you got like fat arm.
Telling you, 1 week today. 1 week today, we're going to have the revealing.
That's right.
It'll be fine. It's going to be 247.
That's 20 pounds in 2 weeks. I mean, that's aggressive.
Okay, 253.
What's the last body part you would insure? And let's keep it G-rated, and let's not get crazy here.
My feet.
We can't be.
I would say my core. It's just non-existent. I have no core. I can't activate it because there's no activation. Just an awful core.
Are your feet shaped like they're still in skates?
No. I have beautiful feet.
Yeah, my feet aren't bad. Rex Ryan would be vibing my feet.
Rex would
be into my feet, I think.
Even a guy like that would look at mine and say no.
Disgusting.
Thanks.
What would you say you wouldn't like? That's the non-starter.
My core, like my abs.
And yours is your feet.
Well, I think
you got like hammer time or what?
No, you got feet. No, you got gross goalie.
I don't
feet.
Have Shaq. Remember Shaq's feet when he revealed them online? There, his toe was like facing the wrong way.
Mama and, June's.
Yeah,
feet. Remember the forklift foot?
I do not have that. My feet are aesthetically nice to look at. They're just shaped a little bit like they're in my skates, okay. I believe.
All right.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's...
I never really...
I'm not saying my feet are spectacular, like they wouldn't be in the Louvre or anything like that, but they're not bad feet.
Didn't you get anything from your skates?
No. I think my least is my pecs.
So your biceps are number one, and your pecs are...
The man tit. It's not good.
Okay.
Wow.
Oh, I got to do bench press for a year straight.
Yeah, bench. I hated bench press.
Our trainer used to say in Calgary, he would walk by and he'd say, you know, push-ups are for free. He'd just walk away.
It's a brutal body
it's
on
such
you.
It's such a backwards slap.
Mm-hmm.
You walk by somebody, he's got the concave chest and be like, push-ups are free, buddy.
Well, do we have the Julian Edelman, Bill Belichick stuff? We should play this.
Yeah.
We've been meaning to play it the past couple of days.
Got to get into that.
Because coaches, like you guys would have seen it. I saw it in the O. Like if you coaches would just walk around.
Naked.
Completely naked around the room.
And it's awkward.
In the O?
Yes.
Come on.
I'm telling you. Now, maybe he didn't think the boys were there still or it was after practice or whatever. But in the O, they didn't have like showers in the coaches' room. I would think maybe in the NHL they have their own.
We had a CFO.
Coaches do the full pull-up, too, with the towel.
Oh, yeah. The towel's right here.
The towel, right under the nipple.
Yeah, the towel is right above.
Because they do
above.
Not want any of that boiler or any other thing.
No, right. Exactly.
Yeah. Well,
it is a full pull-up.
Do you want to hear this audio from Edelman?
Yes,
about? I believe the first time he ever ran into Belichick in New England. Let's hear what Edelman had to say.
Obviously, I came in the room to go in the hot tub. But then we made eye contact, and then he got up and got out. And real, real big party foul by a coach. I mean, we're supposed to have shorts on. Supposed to have shorts. But I guess at 11 o'clock when you're the goat of coaching, you go wherever you want, free ball. So I had to hide my absolute face of terror after seeing what I saw and sit in the hot tub.
But he still went in.
Would not have liked that at all.
Adam and going public with that, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. The party foul? That's a fine.
It is a fine.
Belichick just saying, I don't care. I own this spot. I'm the greatest of all time, and I will do whatever I choose.
Wheeling around, no gear on. Thing is before you go in the hot tub, you're supposed to take the courtesy shower.
Not one guy ever did that. I never played with one guy that took a courtesy shower.
I used courtesy shower.
It's like every public pool.
Yeah,
that's says why you're I supposed swim. To.
No
to
one
shower.
Does it.
No one ever does it.
Why I don't swim. You're, like, why would you go into a pool where people legitimately just take a leak into it?
Yeah, that
flat out
happens.
Take a leak into it.
Yeah, everybody pees in the pool everywhere. Go down to Miami for a bachelorette party. You'll see 25 guys in the pool have 30 beers each. Yeah. Not one of them gets out for a leak.
They sit there for 8 hours.
8 hours straight? You don't have to take a leak once?
We know that they do. They're not Andre the Giant. Like, they... It's happening, and it's a perfect water level. Like,
yeah. By the
high.
Way, ladies, you're not excused from
it.
Oh,
women are just as bad.
You're in there too.
Oh, women are pigs, just like the guys are.
Exactly.
Down there.
It's everyone.
Yeah, everyone's doing it. It's gross.
I'm telling you though, like that's why you take a look at the amount of germs in a public pool.
Oh yeah. Oh, you
gross.
Get right in there.
Just gross.
Yeah. Well, the warnings
know.
Are up there.
Yeah. Like,
but no one adheres to them.
No, that's
very
what
rarely
it is.
Does anyone adhere to him.
Disrespectful, though.
I fell for that Lias Anderson last night down at the Garden.
I know.
Like,
skating out.
Play the video up on TSN4.
He does a header, though. I mean,
it could have been ugly. Like, he was coming out.
Was he not warned about the wire?
No, I think it was a cameraman.
Yeah, I bet you.
I think it was a cameraman.
Like,
that's a camera wire.
Oh, man, that's embarrassing in New York, too. Like, is he a rookie? I think he is, too, right? So that's his first time out at the Garden. He handled it well. He tweeted about it earlier and joked around. Said, big win. Let's forget about it. Move past it. But that's a big moment. You're coming out. The Garden's loud. It's a packed house. Mm-hmm. And the whole place was like, ooh.
Oh, yeah. That's...
And you know the boys would have been all over him. A rookie blowing a wheel.
I don't know if SportsCenter have top 10 guys biting it.
They should after
because
that.
Because the singer...
The Vancouver singer was the worst.
That could be one of the greatest YouTube clips of all time. Him singing on the skates and then hits the carpet.
But what do you think?
We had him on our very first show
we ever did.
His name is Mark, I believe.
Yeah, we interviewed him. He was cool enough to come
on
and explain it.
He was on our very first show.
Yeah.
He was unreal.
Yeah, he came on and explained it. He's like, I was in hero mode. I wasn't paying attention. And
but he bit it twice.
Yeah,
he goes to get up. And
he kept singing, though.
He didn't
That's
miss
a professional.
A but I've played with guys. Tommy Salah was going out ahead of me. It was either in New York or in the minors. I can't remember. And he did a header. Best part, he just stayed down. Like, rolled over, got back
up. Well,
what
do you think happened there? The camera guy decided in between players to walk
across?
That's a gutless maneuver.
You can't do it.
No, it's and in 2019, why are there still cords anyway?
Why?
Like, you set up on the fire or whatever, like... Look at that. Because that's greasy, man. There's no way that cord was there. No, you
couldn't have seen that.
It's so
dark.
You've got your stick in the air. You're looking into the crowd. You'd never know that there's a cord there.
That's the worst.
That is ugly.
I felt for him.
Yeah.
He'll end up having a great career. And that'll
he'll be fine.
That'll follow him for quite a while, though.
Yeah.
Especially in now with the 15-second memes and all of that.
Well, we just called for it on SportsCenter. Immediately, it's get the top 10 blunders.
Oh, but it wouldn't surprise me if they had that queued up already. Like the top 10 guys doing a Facebook. Because Phil Esposito would be there against the Russians. Remember he was picking on the flowers?
Yeah.
Stepped on the flowers.
That's right.
Fell?
Yeah.
Like,
although he played it up pretty well, too.
He did a bow and everything. But
yeah.
There's guys who've done headers.
Yeah. It's embarrassing.
Tough. It's tough.
We have a pair of tickets to give away. The Leafs taking on the defending Stanley Cup champion St. Louis Blues on October 7th. Over the past week, we have been providing daily clues to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And today you will have the chance to call in and name that Leaf. The final clue. This defenseman played all 82 games during his final season in Toronto before moving on to the Atlanta Thrashers. I know who it is now.
You do?
Yes, I do. The Atlanta Thrashers. Okay, phone lines are open. 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. Michael
Freddie
Lombardi.
Modine.
No, it's a defenseman.
It's a defenseman.
416-870-1050.
I'm looking it up right now.
I think he was a part of the Muskoka Five. I think.
Caberle.
No.
Yeah, he did because he won a Stanley Cup.
Caberle went to Boston after Toronto. He didn't go to Atlanta.
He ended up in Atlanta.
It's not Yannick Tremblay, is it?
Didn't the guy?
I think it's Kabina. It's probably late enough now. There's someone's called in. I think it's Pavel Kabina.
I played with that guy.
That's what. That was one of the clues. Anyway, Michael Lombardi, our NFL insider on Seattle, escaping last night. Ray Finkel, Zuerlein went Finkel wide right, saving the game. Yeah. Pete Carroll would have been in big trouble if he blew that game last night. We love seeing it. Jared Goff, the Rams, now 3-2, losing streak. 3-13, that's what we're hoping for.
Yeah.
Overdrive continues on the TSN app. All right, Michael Lombardi, our NFL insider in about 20 minutes. Pierre LeBrun, our hockey insider. Just after that, the Leafs are in action tonight down in Columbus. You can watch the game on TSN4. Pregame at 6:30, puck drop at 7, so the O-Dog's out of here. I don't know why he's out of here right now, but apparently he's out of here right now.
Taking a break.
Taking a break. Personal leave. Personal segment.
Personal segment.
Needs leave. A personal segment. future headlines later in the afternoon as well. Gord Miller borrowing a tie tonight, so look out for that on TSN4.
I hope it's like an atrocious one, but it won't be. If he borrowed it from the PR guy, the PR guy's probably dressed very nicely and said, here's mine. I'm not on camera.
And Gord isn't on camera a lot. Like
no,
before,
not much, just in the opening.
Just in the opening.
And in between periods.
Yeah. Once the game gets cooking, does he have to have a tie? Is that a company policy? Like you've got to have a tie?
Yeah. Yeah, you got to. I wouldn't mind dressing a little bit down, but you got to. Look the look.
Yeah, it's a professional thing, but I also think comfort should be important. Like if I'm calling
like
a game,
sweater.
Well, like baseball's got it made. Like especially the radio guys on baseball, they're up there in golf shirts and they're just chilling.
But they're never on camera.
They're never on camera, exactly. And golf, obviously, radio is very different. TV, I think they all wear suits for the most part. But I feel like I've seen Keith Hernandez in a golf shirt before.
I think if you dress respectable, people will look past it.
Yeah.
The minute that you don't look respectable, then people are like, oh, this
right. You can't wear a hat up there or a hoodie or something like that. But like if you're calling a game, you know, down in Texas in July and it's a buck 22 outside, wear a golf shirt. Who cares?
I'm telling you. Dress code is a big thing. Like I had an incident when I was in player development with the Calgary Flames. I flew to Abbotsford. Jim Playfair was the head coach, and Jared Bednar, who's Colorado's coach.
Really?
So I fly down there, and I'm with Daryl Sutter, and I got greased the night before, and we're on an early flight, and I just kind of threw things into a bag, and I get to my hotel room that morning. So morning skate, I'm just wearing jeans and T-shirt and all that, talking to the young players. I go back to my hotel room, sleep all afternoon, and it's about an hour before I'm supposed to go. And I open my bag, and I have no suit. And I'm there as management that night at the game in a box. With
priorities.
With the manager and everyone. So I'm like, how am I going to get a suit in an hour to fit me? I went to Walmart. And
they sell suits at Walmart.
They sell suits at Walmart. I'm talking black suit, black pants, white like dress shirt.
Yeah, like the
and
funeral
just a
guy.
Tie.
Funeral director.
I paid $50 for it. And I just had some, like, I bought black shoes for, like, I don't know, $20 or something. And I walked in, and it didn't fit properly. Like, my arms are pretty long. And it was kind of, so I didn't wear the coat. And in the luxury box, I kind of had the coat kind of over a chair and was just talking with my shirt
on. Laid-back Walmart
laid back.
Look.
So I'm not lying. We're sitting there, and I have the coat on, but I'm kind of sitting down because it doesn't fit properly. And Daryl Sutter walks by, and he's like, grabs a coat. He's like, nice suit.
Did he know?
No.
Like, did he actually like, think it was a nice suit?
Fantastic suit. He's like, wow, nice suit. And I go, wow. thanks. And then he ends up leaving after the game, and I go down with the coaches. So I'm sitting with Jimmy Playfair and Jared Bednar, and we go over all the players, having a beer. And as I get up to leave, I've got floods on. Like, the pants are like a foot off the... And Jimmy Playfair goes, what are you doing with that suit? And I go, full disclosure, I bought it at Walmart this afternoon. I was wearing like white running socks. I didn't.
So you had white socks on.
There was nothing.
That's a dead giveaway.
I know, but you either go no socks or.
I mean, nowadays you go no socks.
I know.
But back then, it's like, what's your problem?
10 years ago.
Yeah. You needed socks at that point.
It was a tough go, and I hid it the whole night until I came clean.
Right.
But Walmart, apparently.
I had no idea.
They've got some suits.
I've been in Walmart many times. I've never noticed a suit option.
I left the suit in the hotel room the next morning.
So that's, you never decide, I'm getting this tailored, I'm never going to work it again.
No, it wasn't one you get tailored. Like, it was just an XL.
Right.
And
the pants
were really short, and I think it was like a 42 waist. Like, I had I bought like a belt and had to cinch it up. It wasn't good.
Yeah. I can't believe you wore white socks.
Yeah.
Like, that is a dead giveaway that you have no idea what you're doing.
I was in a pretty tough state.
No kidding. So. Well, you got through.
I battled through.
You battled.
All that mattered.
Yeah, I remember, I don't know why this just jogged my memory, but my grandfather used to work in, like, the car industry.
Yeah.
There was a picture of him and, like, 30 different executives, and he's in the front row.
What's he wearing?
He's got white socks on. And everyone else is just decked to the nines, like beautiful black socks, and he's right in the middle with a suit with white socks on for the picture.
That is,
and
the
it's
best.
The most spectacular pic of all
for
time.
Sure.
Like there he is, just throwing on a pair of white
Doesn't
tube
care.
Socks.
No problem.
It's all good.
Exactly.
So last night the Seahawks get a win. A couple of news items out of the NFL: Saquon Barkley, who just 2 weeks ago suffered a high ankle sprain. Which is, it doesn't sound painful.
It is.
Like, if you've never suffered a high ankle sprain, you think, oh, that's not bad. It's a sprain. It is so painful. There are athletes who believe it's better just to break your ankle.
You're better off breaking your ankle so that it can heal properly and you know a timeline. High ankle sprain, there's no timeline. They say about 4 to 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
No idea.
Sometimes it can take 2 or 3 months or whatever.
It can be a couple weeks depending on the severity of it. But honestly, a lot of it is pain tolerance, too.
Well, that's it. And Barkley must be a machine because he has been ruled out this week. But there's video of him at practice this week, like full cuts, looking like a machine. There he is up on TSM4. That guy's got, look at the size of him.
Look at his
legs.
He
is a monster. But he's got a high ankle sprain.
Yeah. So,
like that. That's like 10 days after suffering a high ankle sprain. And look at him going through drills, and he looks like $1 million.
Well,
I mean, he's
this.
A beast, but that his pain tolerance must be crazy. And athletes at that level, they just, they're not, it's not normal.
No.
But he's that close to returning.
You can't, I believe you can't freeze that area.
No, you can't. You just got to fight through.
Yeah.
More on that with Michael Lombardi and Pierre LeBrun in the final hour. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.
This hour has been brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.